Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Go away says, I can fix her. The one sentence that every man will say before their downfall. I can fix her. What a troll this go away. Dino Rogovic was saying, good morning, all. With all the deep fake technology, how do we know the image in the thumbnail isn't the real JF? And this is a fake website spreading disinformation. Has anybody seen the two of them in the room together? Well, one way you can distinguish AIs, because they are not refined very much, is through random behavior. So let me pull something random here. Here, I'll put my sunglasses. You think an AI could pull this? You think an AI could act anarchically like this? They still don't get it. Maybe one day in the future, we'll get AIs that generate random behavior, but for now it remains a distinguishing factor. Trust the randomness. The FTX saga is continuing as more illegal behavior by the founders and his girlfriend are exposed. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried lists a Bahamas penthouse for $40 million, so it looks like, I don't know, does he want to take this money and reimburse the people he stole from, or does he want to take the money and run just like he's doing with the Bitcoin? Interesting. It's interesting what will happen of this sales. People close to the current and former FTX employees who have been at the residence confirmed that it was SBF's pad. So it is the SBF house. He paid this house on the funds that he couldn't keep for his users. What a disgusting individual. I hope that there's some kind of hold on the money around this penthouse that gets put by a judge, because him running with that money would be absolutely scandalous and illegal. We also learned that there was a deal between this woman, she was his girlfriend, and she was also the CEO of Alameda Research. This was the little firm that SBF was using to pass in funds that were from his users at FTX, pass them to Alameda, and Alameda was then investing on risky bets on the stock market, as we have seen yesterday. This woman was describing, she was not even using stop losses. So she was all in, and it was like, either I'm going to make billions of dollars or I'm going to lose everything. She was all in with the funds of other people. Holy shit. Now we learn that there was a deal where they were front running crypto tokens ahead of new listings on FTX. So basically, this guy tells his girlfriend, hey, I'm the owner of FTX. If I enable a token on my platform, suddenly there's going to be interest and there's going to be profit. The token will gain in value. So before we go to bed every night, here's the list of tokens I'm going to enable on FTX tomorrow. So she knew that there would be rises of price for all these tokens. So she was getting the tokens in advance. That is, people were asking me yesterday, Jeff, was there anything really criminal done? Well, there you go. Insider trading textbook definition. She was using private knowledge acquired from the company that was leading to the increase of value. She knew that those tokens were becoming exchangeable much more since they were getting accepted on FTX, and she was front-running them by buying them in advance. That is absolutely illegal, patently illegal, as Zero Hedge describes it. In the latest episode in this relentless scandal drama, the Wall Street Journal reports that the trading arm of Sam Bankman-Fried's empire, Alameda Research, was quietly amassing stakes in various cryptos ahead of announcements that FTX would be listing them for trade, a practice that is patently illegal. Citing analysis of public blockchain data from analytics firm Argus, the Wall Street Journal reported that on the days FTX said it would be listing new tokens between 2021 and March of this year, Alameda had already amassed roughly $60 million worth of tokens ahead of time, arguably to sell into the burst of customer demand and make a huge risk-free profit. That is how these people treat you. That is how they think of you. You are just the cattle to be entered into a system that they know in advance you will want. So they use their advanced knowledge so that you never make a profit, but they make the big profit. Dino Logovic says, it's not bankruptcy if funds were transferred. Well, call it what you want. Unavailability of fund, bankruptcy, I don't care. The fact is, they don't have the money anymore to reimburse the people to whom they were obligated to hold their deposits. So the particular term doesn't matter. Mali Wally says, clicked on the stream for the sexy girl in the thumbnail. And Goaway was saying earlier that he could fix her. Let me tell you, fixing this girl. Have they invented face braces yet? You know, braces that you wouldn't just put on the teeth, but that could reorganize your whole face. Because I think it's what we need here. Face braces. I think I might be able to fix her, but it would take years. Years of rearrangement. And people were sharing on the Discord something I didn't remember. But Sam Bankman-Fried, and this shows you the whole problem with having a network of ethnocentric interests controlling your information channels and your money. Sam Bankman-Fried appeared on the Sam Harris podcast. How is it going, Sam? How is it to be operating a podcast that rather promote fraud than invite actual thinkers? How does it feel, Sam, to be part of this scam? Because this is what happens when you invite people based on ethnocentric preferences. You end up lowering the quality to the point where you've been promoting a man to becoming a magna of crypto out of nowhere without having any contribution to the crypto world before 2 or 3 years ago. Well, any contribution that matters. He was a scammer from the beginning, and you promoted him, and you promoted his earning to give crap. This whole conception of efficient donation, efficient non-profit, efficient charity is how they call it.
I'm speaking with Sam Bankman-Fried. Sam is the founder and CEO of FTX, a cryptocurrency exchange. And he's also the CEO of Alameda Research, a quantitative cryptocurrency trading firm. Forbes described him as the richest person in crypto and one of the richest people under 30 in history. I believe he's made about $29 billion in the last few years. What is more remarkable than that is that he set out to make all this money explicitly for the purpose of giving almost all of it away to the most effective charities.
I was illustrating the drop in value as Sam Harris was talking about this. We are now on the floor at $0. Listen, the listeners of Sam Harris, how many of them got scammed? How many of them got scammed because ultimately Sam Harris rather promote people based on how he feels within their team rather than promote the actual innovators of the crypto world and the actual thinkers of the scientific world? How Sam has fallen, says Mikas, holy shit. How many of your users, Sam, have gotten scammed because of this? Covey Killer Clown says, JF, Sam Harris called Donald Trump a con man, but he will have this curly-haired con man on. Lol. Yeah. I mean, what do we do about this? Sam has a misevaluation of what is a con, and he doesn't realize when he's part of a con. Aquanote says, imagine having the vocal delivery of Sam Harris and somehow believing you don't come across as a guru, fraud, charlatan. Well, it's what I'm led to believe more and more, given Sam Harris's refusal to engage with anything else than his little circle jerk of anti-racism and liberals. The World Economic Forum has 404 their FTX page. You won't be able to see how the WEF used to elevate Sam Bankman-Fried. They were his boy. He was going to gather interest in the crypto space for them, and he was going to enslave this money to the ever-growing American empire, Ukraine warmongers, and other liberals of all kind. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried said to be in the Bahamas, and the WEF erases his page. He was really an agent meant for the DK Shadow says memory holding intensifies. He was an agent meant to subvert the crypto industry. Amazingly based comment today by JP Morgan out of nowhere. You wouldn't expect JP Morgan to understand what went on there. But it seems that, you know, there's two types of people with this FTX stuff. There's the kind of people who got scammed, like Kevin O'Leary, who says, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. to get regulation in. And they're playing totally in the scam. It's like, do you realize that you may have gotten scammed out of your money, but by asking for regulation, you're getting scammed a second time. You're trying to ruin it for the other people who haven't got scammed by Sam Bankman-Fried. But there's another kind of people, and it's the JP Morgan, which leads me to believe maybe JP Morgan didn't have any interest in the FTX exchange, because they made a quite sober and real statement today saying, look, the problems of the crypto space are centralized players. And decentralized systems have no legitimate reason to be discredited by what just happened. What just happened was not the crypto space. It was a centralized player trying to take on the crypto space. They're right, absolutely based. And I hope that this kind of voices gets elevated, because it's rare that, you know, an organization as corrupt as JP Morgan, you would expect them to side with the system here. But it seems that they are recognizing here the distinction. The crypto community has nothing to do with what was done with your money while you were giving it to a human being who centralizes everything. Go away, says Jeff. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Bankman-Fried. Certainly, he has accomplished the first part of this dream of the WEF. You will own nothing. I don't know if people will be happy about it. Lehman, Bankman, Jailman. Very interesting here, comparison between the Lehman. I don't know what happened with this whole Lehman Brothers type of stuff. But I remember that it was a big crash at some point, and they're making the parallel here between what's happening with Sam Bankman-Fried. A shocking defense of crypto from JP Morgan. The FTX collapse will be a massive ramp for institutional adoption. So see JP Morgan seeing what is being done here, and it's actually a proper cleaning up of the frauds of the system. And in the end, Bitcoin will come back strong from this, because there was no hack of the Bitcoin blockchain. What happened is that there were players who were accumulating money, making you believe they had the Bitcoins to back it up, but they didn't. Other than this, Bitcoin itself should not be affected long term. To the contrary, we just cleaned out some parts of the market that people shouldn't be directed toward. With many commentators mistakenly equating one person's record-breaking fraud, namely SBF hubris, that he has full immunity from prosecution just because he is a prominent Democrat donor, with the failings of the entire crypto space, it's odd how nobody said John Corzine bringing MF Global down with his fraud exposed the failings of fiat currencies. Over the past 24 hours, we have seen two very unexpected voices speaking out in defense of cryptocurrencies. The first comes from Deutsche Bank, which notes that just 1 year ago in November 2021, the price of one Bitcoin exceeded $65,000, hitting an all-time high, whereas just last week, Bitcoin hit a two-year low at just below $16,000, and the FTX crypto exchange deal collapsed. Look at the value of the FTT, the currency of the FTX. Boom. Yeah, you have to trust the projects that you put your money in. And FTX was not a project to be trusted. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Aquanote says, JF, Lehman Brothers was part of the subprime mortgage crisis, i.e. US government pressured banks to give loans to people with historically bad credit to increase home ownership with minority populations. Mortgages they gave predictably defaulted and their bank failed. Ah, okay, so I knew this story, but I wasn't sure that Lehman Brothers was part of this story. Very interesting. Thank you for this delivery here. You helped me as a newsman to be on point on these things. DK Shadow says Bankman was committing Goldsmith's fraud. He was selling Bitcoin that didn't exist. Yeah, in a way. I'm sure he was getting the Bitcoin in some form, but the problem is he was betting them through Alameda Research, so they didn't exist once he lost them, for sure. Tuttle Grimm says, didn't you ever see the Big Short film, JF? Yeah, I saw it, and it's a great movie, but I just didn't remember that Lehman Brothers was this story. I remember the Big Short movie. It's a great movie. Manhattan U.S. Attorney Office probing FTX collapse with Bahamian regulators and local police investigating SBF, who last night was so drunk and or high, he tried tweeting and failed miserably. SBF tweeted, 1. What? 2. H. What's happening, SBF? Get out of your drug-fueled orgies and tweet properly. There are people who lost massive amounts of money because of you. Get it back together, SBF! Get it back together! He's now being investigated for criminal misconduct. The Democrat-controlled U.S. judicial system has finally been dragged kicking and screaming into investigating the single biggest fraud in crypto history and the second biggest Democratic donor in recent history. This guy is right there below George Soros. You can't make this up. You have to investigate this because for everything that you think Trump may have done, this guy has done a million times worse. For sure, he's done it. If you think that Trump deserves any sort of inquiry of any kind, this guy should get a million times more. It is orders of magnitude above anything that you could ever suspect from Donald Trump. Which, by the way, makes me think about Sam Harris again. Because Sam Harris was so offended at the fraudulent nature of Donald Trump. Sam, your entire show has been participating in this. You've been promoting this guy. Don't you feel a little bit of responsibility? Don't you feel there's a little more to attribute to you and your carelessness and recklessness in this kind of coverage than you would ever have to reproach to Trump? No, because SBF was a good Democratic donor. Anonymous has gotten into covering this affair. They have published a video called This Will Change How You See Everything on the Anonymous official channel of YouTube. Anonymous, you know, is so-and-so. Sometimes they're right on target. Sometimes you can see that they're kind of a bunch of leftist basement dwellers, but on this they're right, they have properly identified this as being a big story. Spindly Opinion says, TDS broke Sam Harris, Trump derangement syndrome, absolutely. Go Away says, perhaps Sam Harris should practice some effective altruism and donate the profits of his podcast to those that have lost money with FTX. That would be a good idea. DK Shadow says, the rules and judgments he directs at others conveniently doesn't apply to him. That is correct. Lendald says, did H promote this fool? H was in my eyes discredited long time ago, but this is a new low. Wow. H? Who is H? SBF tweeted H? You're talking to me about H? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about Hillary? Elon Musk mocks claims that he's starving Twitter employees for ending free lunches. Is this a parody? Yeah, I mean, we've seen what the free... Okay, Sam Harris. He was talking about Sam Harris. Okay, I didn't realize H. I don't think of Sam Harris as H. Elon Musk is accused of starving Twitter employees. I mean, we've seen the videos. We've seen that these employees were getting free, high-level, five-star hotel styles of meal. They were just dropped freely there by the cafeteria. They were getting it, and they could enjoy it in their yoga room or other restaurant-like structures. Listen, it was unsustainable. You guys cannot keep eating every day on a plate that should sell at about $50 or $100 where it's happening. Andrew Wortman called Musk a cheap pile of garbage for ending the job perk. A Georgia-based activist was ripped on social media for accusing Elon Musk of starving Twitter employees after it was revealed that free lunches will no longer be provided at the company. Spindly Opinion says, $400 would feed me for months. Yeah, I mean, the cost of these meals must have been enormous, especially in downtown where they are. It shouldn't happen, shouldn't be given for free. Aquanote says, a grown adult literally complained he didn't get his school lunch anymore. Yeah, they're very attached, these software companies. They make their employees extremely attached to this free meal thing. Listen, you guys are getting so much bigger salaries than anyone. It's ridiculous how much money you're making if you work at the Twitter HQ. So shut up and go buy some food at McDonald's. Mulder says, hey, Jeff, I sent you a message for the stream via Discord. Too many characters for Odyssey. It's about Carolyn Ellison. So Carolyn Ellison is this lady illustrated on the thumbnail. Okay. Mulder was saying, hey, Jeff, here's a list of Ellison's unattractive features, at least those which I noticed. What are the biological basis of these traits? And why would SBF be attracted to this woman? So I'm not going to read everything that you mentioned there. Low set hair, round head. Yes. Inability to grow healthy hair. How do you wash so little and not have dreadlocks? So you have done it. I will not read the rest because I don't think this show should be about shaming people for their physiques. I think it's funny, this girl, because that's why I wrote patently illegal on the thumbnail. I think that her looks... You could imagine a nation in which we've taken back control, and you could imagine making it illegal to look so weird. But yeah, you say, what are the biological basis of this? Honestly, people were sharing today Discord pictures of her, and she can look a little bit more normal. I think it was a very disadvantageous picture that everyone is sharing. I think that there was also a lack of care. I think that Big Bang Theory has promoted this idea of, okay, all you have to be is such a geek that you don't have to care for yourself. And they have promoted this culture of, I'm such a geek that I cannot wash my hair for a month and it doesn't matter. I think she's pushed that concept to the extreme, but I think it's what it is, because in other pictures she looks kind of okay. Not super beautiful, but kind of okay. So it's a matter of perspective, of effort also. You know, a woman has to deploy massive amounts of effort in the morning to be beautiful. She probably wasn't incentivized at deploying these efforts because SBF was this kind of leftist hippie who was himself always, you know, wearing shorts and looking like a guy who was coming back from vacation, even at big conferences and big public talks. So it was their style. They were displayers of minimalism, but like you cannot be a consenting minimalist. How do they call it? Voluntary simplicity. They were displaying an image of voluntary simplicity, but they are at the head of the biggest fraud in, I mean, I think this is bigger than real estate stuff that happened around 2008, because of the political links are so clear and everything is so public about it. I would characterize this as perhaps the biggest fraud in the last 40, 50 years. Like straight out fraud, just drainage money and let's do something with it. So that doesn't sound like voluntary simplicity to me. Go away, says JF. Have you seen her Tumblr blog? She's into polygamy and into power-hungry guys who have low risk-taking inhibitions. I didn't check that blog, but I knew that there was something around sexual orgies. That's why I retweeted this on my Gab yesterday. I mean, it was bizarre what was happening in this Bahamas mansion. So these people were overtrained MIT diplomats in mathematics and physics, and yet they couldn't figure out that they were burning the monetary basis of their exchange, and on top of it, they were doing all these orgies and bizarre polygamy stuff. Yeah, I retweeted it. It may seem exaggerated because what I retweeted was from 4chan, and it tells the story of this polygamous lifestyle, but no, I'm actually reporting this. As far as I can tell, they were living a kind of sex cult of some kind. What it was involving, probably sex with multiple people and a kind of conception that they were at the top of the hierarchy of the world and this kind of, oh yeah, you know, we got so much contacts and we got an arena in our name, let's fuck each other. Something very weird was happening in this mansion. Glenn Greenwald goes off on fucking authoritarians, praising Markey's threat of Musk. Musk told the Democratic senator his account sounded like a parody. That was the guy complaining that that the Twitter people are losing their work advantages. Greenwald says, so revealing how many liberals and leftists are telling Musk he's stupid and reckless for speaking irreverently to a senator, especially one with power over his companies. These people are such fucking authoritarians. You speak to Democratic senators with respect or else. Yeah, so people were suggesting that because Musk is being critical of a senator, then the government should crack down on Musk. That is exactly the state of threat under which the corporate world is. That's why a lot of the corporate world feels extorted to pander to leftism. It's because the leftists are the only ones who are threatening to go after them with the tools of government. That is a big problem in our society, and they're trying to go down on Musk right now. Musk is overworked. He says he's working 7 days a week. after taking over Twitter, cancels free lunches. Elon Musk has been slammed since taking over Twitter, telling an audience at Indonesia's B20 conference on Monday that he's working 24/7 and has too much on his plate. Don't worry, Elon, you're doing the right thing, but keep doing it. Don't be letting these harassers tire you out. You shouldn't. I think that the great days are ahead for Twitter. A couple of more weeks of work and Elon will have had his footprint on Twitter, and hopefully from there the work culture can keep going. Dino Lugovic says he's hungry. Someone get him a sandwich. Yes. Feed Elon Musk properly. We deserve a good man at the head of free speech in America, if he does implement free speech on Twitter. The leftists are still pissed at the SNL skit of Dave Chappelle that I described yesterday. Dave Chappelle's SNL skit was a meticulous and calculated move to desensitize the population from anti-Semitism, getting society to laugh at Jewish traumas and struggles, and normalizing historic tropes by manipulating the average person's pain and redirecting their reactions onto Jews. Can't we have just a critique without being accused of being meticulous and calculated and evil? Can't we have a discussion on the question of Jewish power? It's all we've been asking for. And these people are paranoid. They, as soon as you raise this question, oh, historic trope. Oh, no, maybe I just want to have a discussion. Maybe Dave Chappelle wants to use the cover of humor to bring in something that is so taboo, that has been made so taboo and artificially taboo, that we can't have a reasonable discussion on the subject. So Dave Chappelle is a trailblazer when he does this, not the meticulous evil person that you represent him as. Can you imagine driving a Tesla? And, you know, there's something wrong with these Teslas. They lead to weird accidents. You drive a Tesla and somehow it starts accelerating in an uncontrollable manner, no matter what you do, keeps going faster and faster. We have full video of an event like this. The guy must be distressed. It's an accident that ended up in death, I believe. The car hit two motorcycles and two bicycles, resulting in two deaths and three injuries. Look at this. The Tesla appears to want to stop here, but can't stop. Accelerates. At this point, the driver is like, oh shit, I'm in an accelerating car. I can just avoid people, but it keeps accelerating faster and faster. And boom, it's a motorcycle. It's a bicycle right there. Doesn't stop. Uncontrollable. Boom. Kills a motorcycle there and ends up crashing in something. DK Shadow says, hit the brake. The problem is, I don't know how Tesla does this. My impression is that Tesla doesn't have the same kind of pedals that a normal car has. Is it possible that they went to software? Is it possible that your brake pedal is a little bit like a joystick, a USB joystick of some kind? And when the USB joystick stops working, it's a big problem. I mean, I can't imagine the distress of the driver. This was a long segment where keeps accelerating. There has to be, if you go to software, there has to be some kind of a system that works independent of software. You need to have some kind of mechanical brake or something I don't know exactly what leads to this, but it's not the first time. And at this point, I believe that there is a problem with Tesla. Fix it, Tesla. You cannot always rely on the software. The software eventually will be bugged. Your Wi-Fi connection will go up. You need something that with my arm, I can stop this car. This is what you need. Think about it, Elon. Taylor Swift's jewel-adorned MTV Awards look was inspired by Queen Elizabeth. Okay, nice gems. I don't get to watch really the MTV Awards anymore, so I just look at the pictures from CNN. Disclosed.TV reports the USA soccer team will be represented with a different flag instead of the classical blue and red USA. They have replaced the lines with the LGBT color code. It's like, can the Democrats please stop using public money to push their messages? Like the mayor of New York who had written Black Lives Matter onto the street. Like this. Now, this is a Democrat flag. It should be illegal for the government to be promoting flags that are known to be particularly enjoyed on the Democrat side of the aisle. Jordan Peterson was in Israel. We've seen him discuss with Bibi Netanyahu. And apparently he has made a speech in Israel telling the Israelis that you guys are the best hope of Western civilization in the Middle East.
As Jews in Israel, are you telling the greatest story ever told? Well, you decide that by how you live. And that decision will affect the world because everyone looks here for one reason or another. It's not so easy to understand. Everyone looks here to see, well, how are you actually doing under this tremendous assault of adversarial criticism as this little tiny people in the middle of no man's land in some real sense as a, what would you say, cardinal model of the nation state and the city on the hill.
I have a simpler word, colonialist. Jordan B. Peterson has a super romantic way of describing what if any white person was doing what the Israelis have done, that would be called neo-colonialism.
Hill, you have a tremendous moral responsibility like you have perhaps for your entire history.
And this whole speech that basically Jordan Peterson sees Israel in the same way the current warmongers are seeing Ukraine. He's seeing Israel as this advance post of Western civilization against the hordes of Muslim countries. And so let's be clear here. Jordan Peterson is a neo-colonialist who wants to lead a fight against Russia and against Arab countries. He is glad that some other race is committing the colonialism for us. But it is colonialism by proxy. If you put that much hope in the faith of the Israeli people, you are basically behind them. And it is your advanced military post, as DK Shadow says, absolutely. Go Away says, JF, are you excited for Jordan Peterson's upcoming talk with Ye? Well, I covered this video yesterday. I'm excited about any conversation. I think it should happen and I want to see it, yes. So in a way, I'm excited. I expect, unfortunately, that Jordan Peterson will do what everyone else does, including Lex Fridman. He's going to approach the critique of Kanye from a normie angle and try to give the normie counterpoint. And Jordan Peterson is very bad when he does this. He's good in reverse. He's somewhat good when he tries to take internet culture and explain it to a normie, like to try to have these ideas collide. But in the other sense, he's really not good when he tries to stand in for the normie in face of a critique that comes from internet culture. But I don't think it's going to be outstanding, if you want my opinion.
History, for reasons that are very difficult to understand. And I think it is true in some real sense that the fate of the world depends on the decisions of the people of Israel, just as the fate...
See, he really thinks that Israel is so important in the advancement of Western civilization that our fate relies on their decisions. It's like, how? Israel could be erased from the map tomorrow morning, wouldn't change anything. There would just have been an extension of power by Muslim countries around it that would eventually engulf it.
The fate of the world depends.
And of course, the Israelis are applauding, because Israel develops because of this delusion of the West that Jordan B. Peterson is pushing forward now. This delusion is precisely why Israel survives and exists. This lie is what sustains the economic development of Israel. Who would be interested in defending or militarily supporting or economically redirecting toward a small nation of the Middle East like Israel if it wasn't of this, if it wasn't of the network of lies and delusions that have been built over decades, which include, by the way, the lies of the weapons of mass destruction, the lies that Saddam Hussein was to be attacked, the lies that some terrorist group is behind the 9/11 attack that somehow will capture if we go to Afghanistan. All of these lies built one on top of the other is why Israel is a developed nation right now. So of course they applaud because they want more. They want the US to continue mounting this fictitious nation in the heart of the Middle East.
Just as the fate of the world depends on the decision of every individual, so you make yourself a shining light on the hill, right? You attract people here because of what you're capable of doing. You show the world what the holy city...
He's gonna cry. Holy shit.
Look like, because we need it. We need it. And it's...
We need it against what, Jordan? We need it... We need it against expansion of Muslim countries. I mean, whether Israel is there or not, there is expansion of Muslim countries. There is now more than 10% of some countries like France that are Muslim. Your shining beacon has just redirected the migration flow elsewhere. So what do we need this shining beacon for anymore? To push democracy and LGBT values onto Middle Eastern Arab populations? Is that your plan? Is that the great contribution of your boomer conception of liberalism, Jordan? You're gonna bring trans to Iran? That will be your accomplishment? The accomplishment of a generation?
It's up to you to do it. Thank you very much.
Holy shit, man. I hope people in the future look back at this and see how ridiculous that was. Because right now we can't. Right now you show this video to a normie, there's nothing to be alarmed about, but it's a sickness. It's a sickness of lies, of creating an artificial conception of the role of Israel in Western civilization that it doesn't have. And we've been running on the fuel of that lie for decades now. The car is getting tired. The tank is becoming empty. There is no way to even engage with the boomer. The boomer will eventually disappear, and their false visions of the world will disappear with them. But I wish there was. I wish we could just talk to Jordan. One-to-one, it's like, I wouldn't be aggressive, I wouldn't be trying to shame him. I would just test the cognitive deficits that he lets live in his head. I would ask testing questions that would force him to compromise between these lies, and eventually perhaps break even one of his own rules. Always tell the truth. Purple Tuna says, JF, trans already is in Iran. Sex reassignment surgery already legal and encouraged by the state. I understand that it's kind of there, but there's also social repression against it, and it's certainly not widespread in the Arab countries. But, you know, if it's not this, what is it? Because that's what we keep doing. We invade Afghanistan. We take control of every institution. We raise the LGBT flag. We hold it raised for a couple of years. And then we leave. And the forces of Muslim control of these nations show up the day we leave. And then they pull down the LGBT flag and they paint over the ridiculous stuff that we painted on their walls. For what? All this for what? Millions of people dying from these wars. All this for a delusion that you can push values that are not even healthy for us onto other nations. That's the moral grandeur of these people. They're not even sure that our nations will survive their ideological infection. But they already want to infect some other nations. Philosoraptor says there's another lie that Palestinians are oppressed. Actually, they are used as a pawn by the Arab nations to use against Israel. The Arab nations could have easily absorbed them all. But it's not you. Your analysis is correct in that the Palestinians are occupying a role of occupation for the purpose of demographically protecting Israel from being dominated by Jewish interests. That is a correct part of your analysis. What's incorrect is you do not have to have the, you cannot impose the moral expectations of these other countries to be in charge of taking in the Palestinians. They are the victim of an act of colonialism. And as such, there's different routes. Yes, some of them could be deported and hosted by other countries, but they don't have to accept this. They can also push to make Israel eventually majority Muslim. And that is a viable strategy against colonization. And that is honestly what I hope happens, honestly. It's not that I want to see many nations become majority Muslim, but I think it would be fair for Israel to be. And I think I would enjoy seeing the Jewish population of Israel having to deal with the contradictions of their own values. It's like, oh yeah, you want to be a shining beacon of democracy? Well, democracy, you're going to lose it when there's more than 50% Muslim. Are you going to enjoy it? Are you going to enjoy that? Are you going to be able to respect? Are you going to be like the Democrats of the US who say, oh, please accept the results of the election? It's our most important institution, democracy. Are you going to be still promoting the idea that calling elections stolen is a terrible offense against our traditions? So yes, diversity for Israel, Grapes Coda, that is what I stand for. Because I want you to taste your own medicine and see if you're still willing to impose it on others once we've imposed it on you. Silver Spider says, hey JF, did you ever see the clip where they ask Jordan what the greatest threat to humanity is? The interviewer said Stephen Hawking said it is when AI learns to self-design. And Jordan Peterson responds by saying narcissistic compassion. Yeah, I mean, Jordan Peterson is stuck in his psychologist's view of the world. So in his view, there is nothing more dangerous than the human mind if it's put on the wrong program. The wrong program being basically non-centrism. if your mind goes there or if it goes there, it's very bad. You need to stay at the center. That is the whole thing that Jordan is about. That being said, no, I didn't see that clip. So if you want to send me that clip, maybe through Discord DM, Telegram DM, go ahead. Johnny Danger says, what if instead of a shining beacon, they'd become a shiny... I won't read the rest because it can be misinterpreted, but nice play of word. Kanye talks about his doctor's ties to MK Ultra and the military. Let's see what Kanye has to say. He was going further on something that I've already covered about Harley Pasternak, his gym trainer who was extorting him, who was threatening him, hey, I'm going to send you to the hospital and I'm going to get you drugged if you keep going.
Let me read these Harley tapes. This is how he was threatened. This is a trainer, but come to find out, he's actually Canadian intelligence, but this is my trainer. So this shows you the kind of handlers that are around the superstars in California, right? So it says, I'm going to help you one of a couple ways. First, you and I sit down and have a loving and open conversation, but you don't use cuss words. And everything that is discussed is based in fact. And that's some crazy stuff that dumb friend of yours told you or you saw in a tweet. Second option, I have you institutionalized again where they medicate the crap out of you and you go back to zombie land forever. Play date with the kids just won't be the same.
This is a so-called trainer who Kanye says is part of Canadian intelligence. Maybe I should watch myself. But extorting Kanye, a billionaire, a free man, a man who has been liberated when the slaves were liberated in the U.S., Kanye or any of his ancestors became free. And yet you have an agent of the state telling him, do this, do that, or... I'm going to drug you with drugs that make you so unconscious and so out there that playdate with the kids won't ever be the same. This is emotional extortion. This is criminal, by the way. But you never see these crimes pursued. It is a criminal extortion threat. And you cannot try to force people by threatening that you will deny them their rights and liberties. Yes, it is illegal, David Smith, but it never gets prosecuted because that's the favorite tool of intelligence services and the handlers of this world. They are very happy that they can use this tool freely. Same thing, another case of extortion is the case of the Canadian journalist Eva something, who she's put on the enemies of Ukraine list. And here she's talking about her worries being on this website that the Ukrainian militants are using as a kill list.
Delighted to say that Eva Bartlett herself joins the program to explain what she's been going through. Eva, welcome. As I just mentioned, some say Miro Tvoretz is a kill list with those on the side targeted by Ukrainian radicals. How worried are you, first of all, that you may be in serious danger by having your information added to the site?
I'm, as you may know, I'm residing in Russia, so I feel a certain degree of safety, at least being here. Were I living in Canada, where I grew up and where I am a citizen of that country, I would be more worried because I think it's pretty well known by now that the Canadian government has a very close relationship with Ukraine and with the Nazi battalions within Ukraine, funding Ukrainian military endeavors up to $1 billion, I believe. And Chrystia Freeland, our deputy prime minister, her grandfather was a Nazi collaborator, and that is open information by this point. And in, I believe it's in Western Canada, there is a fairly significant faction of ultra-nationalist Ukrainian supporters. So were I in Canada, I would be quite worried about my well-being because...
So dangerous to live in Canada. She prefers staying in Moscow right now because she's on this kill list. That has been leading to actual attacks in the past. Safety not guaranteed. I've watched this movie yesterday. I love it. This is a great movie. I'm surprised that I had missed it. But somehow I was seeing this movie among the time-traveling movies. And it was like a comedy and a drama. And I was like, it must be one of these cheap movies about time-traveling that I don't want to see. It turns out it's a great, great movie. Not top 10, but it's a top 100. It is absolutely beautiful, fully hetero. There's so much heterosexuality in this movie. It's like, holy shit, that I was like, I'm satisfied. This is the amount of heterosex that I'm looking for. It is, there's no time traveling happening in this movie about time travel. That's one of the most amazing things. They succeeded at making a movie about time travel in which you're not ever sure if time travel has occurred. And yeah, beautiful movie with beautiful woman falling in love with man. It's really good. And it's filmed in a very special way, more like a kind of half documentary style, fictitious documentary style. I really like this kind of filming. It's like lower budget, but very interesting. The title of the movie is Safety Not Guaranteed. It's the idea of a bunch of journalists who want to laugh about a man because the man has posted a little newspaper ad that says, I'm looking for someone to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. You'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I have only done this once before. And so they think, oh, we're going to laugh at this idiot and we're going to make a newspaper article, a hit piece against him because he seems deluded. But eventually the woman falls in love with the guy and you're never ever sure if the guy truly has the ability to move through time. But maybe, you know, at the end, they end up using a machine. But you don't get to know if it worked. I really love it. I love it because all of the guys end up with a woman at the end of the movie. Everything ends up well. Someone sent me this video. He said, Jeff, I would like to know what you think about this. I hate it when people send me a message that says, hey, Jeff, what do you think about this? And I'm like, what do I think about a 2-hour divagation session where they talk about the global mind, collective intelligence, agency, and morphogenesis?
It's work. Instead, our answers are in the realm of the possible, and we need to discuss the possibilities. And there is value in understanding these possibilities to direct our future experiments and the practical.
And it's not the first time. This, like in the last 2 weeks, two people contacted me about Michael Levin, and they both asked, Jeff, what do you think about this? I need a criteria. I don't understand what these guys are talking about. They are divagating. They're talking about... There's lots of statements that they do that are true. But it's like global mind, collective intelligence. This is all framed in a very unrealistic, untestable way. So don't send me things about what do you think about this without telling me what do you think about this. If you came to me and say, JF, I think that Michael Levin's theory of this is correct, and here's the predictions that it does. But talking loosely about collective minds, that means nothing. These terms mean nothing. This is exactly how you not do science education on the public space. So I don't care about this crap. Leave me alone with unsubstantiated questions. Questions that don't mean anything. Jeff, what do you think about this? What is there to think about people talking for 2 hours without making sense for more than 5 minutes? Grapes Coda says possibility, brain, consciousness, cerebral, quantum perception, collective hive mind, global intelligence, universal consciousness. Buy my book. Quantum. Aquanote says, JF, apologies for the nitpick, but most people would hear the word defecate when you say divagate. Maybe stress divagate more. Don't mean to correct you if this is not well received. No, I mean, you're right. Divagate is a term in French. I've researched it, and as it turns out, it doesn't even exist in English. But I need an alternative. Could you find this for me, Aquanote? Whenever I say divagate, what should I say? What is the equivalent word in English? I've never found it. Philosoraptor says, they're lazy, JF. They're most likely never watch the video themselves. I think I'm going to have to start being dismissive on this kind of approach, because if you cannot even have yourself constructed a takeaway message from something, maybe it's not worth losing 2 hours of my time even caring about answering you. I hate doing this because I always, I built my internet reputation on the idea that I answer to everything. You can contact me in email, Discord DM, Telegram, Super Chat, whatever. I will always give an answer. Even if it's something I don't know, I will say that I don't know it. But this kind of approach is the worst. Okay, so the alternative to divagate is digress. Okay, digress. I have to remember this word because you guys have talked to me about it before. Digress. But it's not as powerful, you know? Oh, look at these two guys digressing over 2 hours. It doesn't sound as bad. Aquanote says that divagate does exist in English. Okay, well, it does exist, but in a rare form that people tend not to use. So the people who approach me, I think I'm going to impose a threshold going forward. If you want my opinion on something, you need to have an opinion on it. And you need to at least phrase it. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you have to give me something. What is there to retain from this 2-hour discussions? Because at this point, I can't. I can't go through all the crap that people... You would have no idea how much crap I receive every day. And I spend most of my day just listening to the crap just in case there would be something to answer. There's a limit. Arky says, JF, what do you think about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? That is exactly how it feels. Jeff, what do you think about blank, bizarre things? I don't know. What do you think about it? Why should I care? Fans slam Jeopardy for a tasteless clue. Actor John Michael Higgins, Will Wheaton, and Joel Kim Booster competed on Sunday's episode, which ended up making a reference to the murderer Brian Laundry. Oh, one clue read, in 2021, fugitive Brian Laundry ended his days in Florida's Miakachi Creek area, home to these long and toothy critters. I love the contrast between the question is about cute critters, but they have to use the murderer of Gabriel Petito as the clue to get you there. And the answer was, what are alligators? Holy shit, there must be an easier way to get to alligators. A more socially acceptable way to get to alligators. Jay Leno is recovering from massive burn injuries due to a gasoline fire. This is what I love about Jay Leno. He's still a real guy, you know. He hasn't let his celebrity get in the way of doing real stuff. And what Jay Leno likes to do is fix his old car, his old collectible car collection. And he was playing with the mechanics of it, and there was suddenly the tank or whatever leaked, and a fire just... He started burning in gasoline. He's going to be okay, I believe, but he has some serious burns from the gasoline fire. He just needs a week or two to get back on his feet. I know it's a massive collection. I think he's really serious about accumulating those cars for some reason, which I respect. You know, everyone has his autistic projects, and Jay Leno is entitled to his own. Amazon plans to lay off 10,000 employees. That will be our last news item for tonight. Layoffs would represent 3% of Amazon's corporate employees. I think it's good news. These companies have been over-hiring. They wanted to expand, and they didn't know exactly in which direction it would go. But it's time to cut off employees that shouldn't exist. And in the end, you're going to have a more productive society and a more productive company. So do it, Amazon. Although Amazon remains a great employer, and I'm sure there will be lots of opportunities, I still recommend Amazon as an employer because I've been there. Great company. But sometimes it's time to get more lean on the workforce. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Oh, yeah. We have to schedule the Subscribestar Patreon hangout. Let's do this. How about, what was it last month? Last month we did Tuesday. How about we do this month Wednesday, the 16th? And let's do Thursday. It's going to leave me 3 more days to prepare and send the message to everyone. So Patreon, Subscribestar, private hangout at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday the 17th. That's in 3 days from now. Make sure you reserve that night for the big fans of the show, and join the Subscribestar at the $20 level if you want to be part of the conversation. Go away, says Jeff. Who was a better employer, Amazon or Jeffrey Epstein? Amazon. No question. Jeffrey Epstein, I enjoyed draining money from him. But I didn't like the guy, I didn't like his approach, and all of his ways of contributing to a project, unfortunately, was to take over it, take control. He had this handler behavior to him. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know. But he had this desire of pushing me away from Neuro TV. He was like, Jeff, he never talked to me, but he was telling his assistant, whom I've spoken with, he was telling his assistant, Jeff, you are too self-promoting. We need you to promote the institution so that eventually we can take control of it. Ah, see? And I said no, which is probably why he didn't fund eventually the further seasons. I said no. I said the business of the internet is built around personalities. Doesn't matter how small you are, you have to be an e-celeb. And what you guys are demanding is that I create this thing that you want to control because you want to use it to your own devices later. No. Fuck your 25,000 or whatever they could have given after. It's a no, because you want become popular on the internet being an institution. The world was changing back then. It was the birth of YouTubing, and institutions are big in the brick and mortar space and in the normie world. But on the internet, there's no such thing as a brand. The brand is you. Shelburne says, true, JF. Phytosoraptor says, JF, what I love the most listening to you is you're using simple but precise words. Peterson gives me a headache. Well, exactly. Peterson is the anti-JF on this, because I've said it before. One of the big defects of Jordan Peterson is that he uses words on purpose that are blurring what he's trying to say rather than, you know, distillating to it. A true communicator who's truly interested in telling the truth is looking for the tightest word possible around his intended message. But Jordan Peterson lives in the space of unintended messages. And, you know, when he starts doing this, that's when you know it's coming. He's trying to do the alchemy of words. I'm going to find a word that doesn't exactly tell you something, but you might think it tells you something. That's his magic with his finger. It's demonic incantations in the semantic domain.
Thank you.